Okay. Davashu Marchik as Min HaAdam HaKdusha. By the way, if this time works better, I could do this time also usually.
Oh, yeah.
8:30. I come home from yeshiva, let's say 1-ish till 2:30, till 2:40. So I can definitely do 1:30 till 2:15 if it works better for you.
It's actually always a bit better. It's quite late that time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Found it.
So I that's not a problem. Thursday that time is okay for me. That's so
1:30 would be 8:30.
Like this time. Next time.
Great.
So if we want to, we believe like we move it to
what
here.
What about Mondays? You like Mondays better than Thursdays?
I can do any day.
Any day doesn't make it. That's
both are good for me.
Both are good for you. Okay.
Okay. I mean, Thursday sort of bookends it, but whatever you want, I have no problem.
Okay. Okay. So we'll do tentatively Thursday. I guess it'll be next Thursday.
Right. It'll be 1:30. Metz Shem.
1:30 Eastern time.
Eastern Center. Yes.
8:30.
8:30 our time.
Getting up first, I could do it, but it's okay. Davar shemarchik adam in akdusha, in adam kedusha, kasha ubaloi isha, she'oz einish menachet. So this sounds quite obvious. It's brought down halacha. You bring the gemara and so on, but there's a knach to the ed kedaka b'kodesh. You know, the pashta pshat is, well, a person has a taiva, he has a yitzhara, he needs. If he can do it beheta, he's not going to do it b'issa. But there's more to it. Mashal mechazal perikam leketushin mishtabach le'rav chisla rav huna b'rav hamnuna the adam gadol hu. So Rav Chisla is a rave about Rav Huna that he was a adam gadol amalei kishayava liyadcha haviyu liyadi. I'd like to meet him. Ka'asa chazal liparis sutra. He saw he wasn't wearing a talis over his head. This is the makar for why the minig Ashkenaz that the minig of Ashkenaz not to wear a talis when you're not married, because the priestess sudra is something that's miyuchad for somebody married. Only I tell the priestess sudra omle le nesivna vadrina lapim and he turns us away from him omle chazid le chazis lapoy adinisvis. I don't want to meet you till you don't get married.
So what's the connection of priestess sudra with it? It's not like a stun.
Right, but I don't know. I don't know. It's not given ever in halacha the reason for it. I mean, this gemara is the marker for it. Why the minig was, I don't know. By a woman, the reason why she doesn't have to cover her hair until she's married is because since it's the dera for psulus to go with the hair, it's not considered a davish of erevil. I don't know by a man what the part is. I have no idea. I mean, I've never found a marker. Ravuna Tamei Dama Ben Chof Shana V'Loi Nasi Isha Kol Yom HaBavera. Yom HaBavera is like that, Chayim V'Hur HaVera. So even though he doesn't, not that he has shown that does HaVera all the time, but he's HaHur HaVera. Amar Rav V'Chein Tonim V'Shmuel Ad Chof Shana Yosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzap Al Odom Mosa Yisa Isha Kim She Yigia Chof V'Loi Nasa Oymet Tipach Atzmo Yisra Shal Isha Isha. So 20 is a cutoff date. This is not just a Maimer HaMuzger. It's one of those. The reason why we allow ourselves to wait longer than that, and so Gemara goes to 24, but whatever. The truth is, just so I mean, the halacha is that people push Ben Shmanasseh l'chopa, but the real question is, well, why Ben Shmanasseh? You chayev from your bar mitzvah, and all mitzvahs, and l'chur this mitzvah as well. So most people could do beer when they're 13 or 14. So why not be chayev them in getting married?
Well, what's the mitzvah though?
Well,
I thought the mitzvah is...
The mitzvah, the technical mitzvah is pruvu, but it's like the ketuchupa v'ketushin. It's clear that the Torah wanted you not just to have kids born out of a woman, they wanted a family, they wanted to get married. And if you're not mature enough to get married, if you're not ready to get married, then there's not going to be a marriage. I mean, because there are also, even in Shmona Asrei, if physically a child is mature at 13, 14, and there were many tkufas guys who got married at 15, 16, but Chazal aimed that Ben Shmanasseh has a certain maturity, and that's why, just like the other ages...
Doesn't mean physical? It's not
physical? Physically, you can give birth probably at 13, 14, 15. I mean, there's Zera, there's Kishri. It means because they're not ready to be married. That's why I would assume. It's just like it says Ben Chamesh Esrei Legimara. He's Chayim Talmud Torah when he's 13, but he's not ready to learn Gemara until he's 15. So it's an interesting question. It's a question of being ready in terms of being ready to have a family. And that's why if you if you feel somebody's immature and he's got issues and whatever it is, there's good reason to push it off. Some people go very firm with that. They keep pushing younger age. But part of it is also being able to hold on to a family. So not just to have kids. So now he gives an explanation. Why until 20? And this is his knetch. Ki adam kolzman shekamosay choylich v'gadol dehainu at chof shana ki min chof shana v'elech ein gadol oid v'kolzman shegadol ein yitzgadol kol kach etzloi ki moisri hamozn boim ala gidol legad legufoi lefikach ein shechazer lektanim nei sheinka moisit hebeklau. So let's talk about it a little bit. Let's understand a little bit the nekuda here. People who are starving, like concentration camps, lose their ability to have a kishui, zera, until they're eating again and so on, because the body acts very, very smart, and having children is sort of an excess. It's a surplus. It's like, first take care of yourself, and then let's see what about the kid. So the mahalach is, so long as your energies are taken up inside, they don't go outside. I think also, so physically, as long as a person is still an age when he's in personal growth mode, the body is not interested in pressing for him to go out, to marry, to have children. It's still, once he peaks, that's the point when now that energy is going to go outwards. It's true physically. It's also true, I think, emotionally, intellectually. In other words, you know, this is one of the things that I think people also make a mistake in terms of guiding people in learning. So let's take Parnassa out of the equation. What's a person, almost no one in the world can sit and learn forever in a very productive way, unless there's a tkufa that he feels he's growing and learning, there's a tkufa that he feels he is sort of developing, and so he's not concerned about going outwards, about your futsa menasecha chutsa, because it's all inward. And then when there's a sense that that's basically, you know, reached a certain cutoff point, like, okay, he's doing well, but there's no real, then he starts becoming antsy to be mashpia outwards. And if a person doesn't have the ability, so some people can teach, some people write svarim, some people answer shayla, there are different avenues, but the word is, and I tell a lot of times to, you know, younger life, when they're planning life, the fact that you really like to learn now is great. It's very rarely at the age of 30 you're going to have that same drive, because what happens is at some point the body senses plateau, and then that energy wants to go outwards. It wants to do something, and that's why it's important. In my mind, I think that emotional pressure is probably the most significant piece of the puzzle. That person needs to needs to do something in learning that he feels yafutza menasecha chutza, that he's teaching, explaining, writing. I told somebody, if there'll be a line of people asking you shaylos and beis medrash always, that's fine. So you feel that you're doing. But if you're just another person sitting and learning, you know, so you have the chaznish, but the truth is the chaznish wrote all the time. Chaznish is
really wrote for himself. It was
right. No, but that itself was to creating. There was a certain Alfonso Mayanus. You're right. It didn't have to be other people, but he was writing. To him, the Chaznish was a certain creation. He was writing up the sugyas the way they got to be. There was a certain productivity to it. Very rarely you have someone that's. There was a fascinating story. It's in Panovich. When Rav Schacht started turning, I don't know, it's late 80s, early 90s, I mean, that kufa, all the, so him and Rav David were both pretty much the same age, kind of, And Rav Shach wanted to give over hand over the torch to the next generation. And he told Rav David, we both need to step down in terms of saying shir, and bring in young Magidi Shurim and let them do it. We need to bring in. And Rav David was very upset, and he said, it will kill me. If you insist on killing me, fine, but it'll kill me. And I think his Rav Shach had other outlets, you know, that Rav David didn't have. Just that was Rav Shach's nature. He was a very energetic person. He did have other things. And Rav David said, this is my life. He said, you know, my shir is my life. And without that, I feel I'd dry up and shrivel up. So he says, so his knach is that the reason is, so long as a person's energies are focused inwards, his Yetzirah is not so big. And the truth is, there's a lashon in the Sfarim when they speak about the hair on a person's head. It's called a Yisus HaMoach, Mosus HaMoach. It's called the excess of the Moach. What it refers to is usually a person's, you know, a person's chup, waving his hair, is kind of an act of haughtiness. It's sort of an act of arrogance. You know, a person has a big chup of hair come back, or he's waving it, or whatever it is. And
it's about the
Beluria. Yeah. So yeah, what the Chassidus Sfarim was right about the terrible Beluris. But the there's a certain, and the way the Sfarim saw it was, it's ki'ilu, when a person's mind is occupied in doing something. So when you're working through a problem, your mind's occupied with the problem. When you finish and you sit back, now you can say, ah, oh, I'm great, I'm fantastic. There's a certain element, and it's true in any case. When a person is working hard and directing his energies to accomplishing something, a person is building a business. So in the mode of having to build it up, the person usually doesn't display. When the person's energy has been spent in, let's say, building the business mode, so then he's making other people's life miserable most of the time. He's wasting it because the energy is there. It needs an outlet. It's not being used to run the machine anymore. So it looks for what to do. And that's where the problems start. And the same thing is true with the physical and sexual energy. As long as a person's body is within the growth mode, it's using up its energy in the growth process, and it's less Yetzirah. When a person's sort of peaked, that's when he gets Yetzirah. V'amar Rav Chisda, Haida difno mechavroi denesivno b'sheisa, pirish achash ben tesai, v'ayin v'shnas yudzayin, v'leirotze lahamtin atchilas yudches shuazman shuroi lisa k'mesh v'anev brokim, kein roi lahamtin arazman sheyetzirah shalupay. So what he said was, what's the difference if I wait till 16 and a half, 17? He said, since the 18th year marks this man of Tchilas Man Nesuin, it means there's already some Yetzahara. And therefore, he didn't want to be in a matzev where there's even like a havamin for the Yetzahara to be sholeit. V'inesivna ben yudalit, sharei ben yudgimli yom echad hu ish, v'at kloise shane shal ben Yetzahara klal, az amarti lesotin gira beinecha, shei shel ta Yetzah shei moishal ben Yetzahara ma'olam. Al kasha sholeit Yetzahara ba'adam, so this is obvious. This is, you know, when a person not to get addicted and not to fall into a habit is difficult sometimes, but to get out of it is much more difficult. So once the Yetzirah is kind of shvisa in a person, it's very hard to be shalom on it.
You're telling it's the koich of addiction. It's the same.
What?
It's the same koich.
It's anything. A person gets used to something, that then, you know, some harmless like drinking coffee. It's, you know. It's not difficult not to start it, but when you get used to it, so he says, Yetzirah becomes thicker. It says it's first like a chutzal chevel, I guess I can add just a bit of hezba. I don't know if he means it, but it's a very interesting mashal. He says it starts off being as thin as a thread, and at the end it's as thick as a cord. So it's an apt description of the matzav. That's not, you know, that's obvious, but I think there's more than that. Let's give an example. Let's say, let's take kids. I don't know what the Yitzharas today are. There are plenty of them. When we were growing up, smoking was the Yitzharas. We weren't supposed to smoke when we were kids, and all the kids smoked. The joke used to be, why don't you make Shechayana on the first cigarette that you smoke? And the answer was, because it's in the bathroom. That was the joke as kids. So my first Yitzharas to smoke a cigarette is always outside me. Everyone else does it. People say it's fun. You'd be like a big guy and this and that and so on and so forth. So the Yitzhahara is only as big as itself. When it gets into you and you start smoking, then you want it. There's a part of yourself, more and more of yourself, like Rahman's like a cancer, becomes intertwined with it. And now it's the Yitzhahara strengthens because a lot of you becomes converted to Yitzhahara. And it's, the same thing is true even this Yitzhahara, and in these Yitzhahara, Arayas and so on. You know, once a person gets ruggled to an avera, then that avera becomes part of himself. It's now me. It's not tempting on the outside. There are things that are tempting on the outside. There are things that this is me, and I get absorbed in it, or it becomes part of me, and that becomes a very tricky part to be able to separate it out of yourself. It looks great to do. But you say, I want to do it. And there's a big difference in those two statements. When something says, this looks real, like real fun, I can separate it away. But when this is what I want to do, and Bechateisi, you go for it differently, that's very, very different.
This is the pshat Eliezer ben Duda, he died because
yes,
that's all he was. He couldn't separate his life
force from. Rav Huttner said his koyach haratzon came intertwined. Someone told me, an extraordinary story. I don't know if you know Gail. What's his first name? Chaim Gail. Chaim Gail is a Baal Tshuva from way back when. He must have begun to come from the 70s. My age, but he went to Eish HaTorah, and then he went to the Mir, and he's been learning the Mir ever since. Yosef Menalji is still there, and so on. So he was a very interesting fellow, very, very intelligent fellow. And he tried out a lot of things before he came to yeshiva. In those days, that everybody tried things. So he worked at a greyhound race, that's like dog races. And he worked as a surgeon's assistant. Then he worked in a mental hospital. Like any place that was different, he sought out to see what it's like. And he was a kind of very... So he told me he worked in a mental hospital. And there were three sections. There were... acute cases, like people that had a crisis. There was another section, I remember what it was. And the third section were people that basically were there for life and they were going to stay there, whatever. And there was one person who was dying of syphilis. They had caught it late or whatever, they hadn't treated it, and he basically was dying. And syphilis just destroys the brain in its last stages. So he told me this person had basically lost all control over functions and so on. Basically, it wasn't fun. He said the only chiyus he had left was whenever a nurse would come by the bed, he would try to grab her. That was like his only reflex that was still intact. Like the core of his neshama, the last piece. Lahavdol, there was a Yid, Rabbi Yosef Rubin. He was a big Gavit Tzadok Yerushalayim. He was actually a big Talmid Chacham, and he also was a big Gavit Tzadok. Oh, Yosef Chai was his thing. I mean, he didn't call Yosef Chai then. And he was... he was a relatively young man. I think it was late 50s. He had a massive stroke. He lay in the hospital a few weeks and died. And he was totally unresponsive. But they told him, Rabbi Yosef, it's before Pesach. What's going to be Rol the Aniyim? He started crying. There were tears in his eyes. And so, you know, sometimes when you strip away all the outer layers, like you're left with that korchias, and, you know, ashrei the person that the korchias is, you know, Aniyas. Rav Chaim Shalevitz, when he was dying, I mean, he had cancer of sorts, and his last few weeks he wasn't coherent, he wasn't really conscious most of the time, but Rav Shach came to visit him, and Rav Shach, you know, there was no way to communicate. So Rav Shach patched around for a few minutes, and then he said, Chaim, you're going to get better. So Chaim said, prove your point. Bring the raya. Like, that was like, you know, that was his, you know, that remained with him. So, I'm a bit of a Shmuel. Halacha noisei adam isha v'chakir ilmat Torah. So this is a famous machlokes. Should a person get married and then learn Torah? Rebbe says v'chaim tzavar yasik v'torah. By the way, this was the reason why people in Europe got married very late in yeshivas. A, there was no kolol, there was no attempts of learning and getting supported, very very limited. And secondly, the other reason was no girls wanted to marry yeshiva bachim in the later tkufas. It was terrible matzav. But al kapanim, the Gemara says. Machlaikis, so everyone says Rechaim Betzavar V'Yasik V'Torah. How could a person, is busy with his work? He's not going to be a Yasik V'Torah. Lo Pligi Holon Holu. The difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So the Pashat Pshat in Gemara, again, the Maral has a different Pshat in Gemara. The Maral has a few Sfarim in Halacha that he wrote on Shabbos and Erevin. But Metziah we have Gerari on all these Sfarim. They've put out some of them. He's very original. He goes through the Gemara. He asks kashas. Some of the kashas are places as kashas, disregards and says alterutzim. He it's like his gemara. He's very very original. It does not. So here also, it was a different pshat. The pasha pshat over there that they learn is Rashi learns. There's a difference if there was parnasa or not, if it was possible or not. So if you can have parnasa, then being married is certainly much better. If you cannot parnasa, then you have no choice to learn before. He learns differently. Pirish. Beretz Yisrael, Schus Eretz Yisrael Goyrim. Olefikach Rechaim B'Tzavar V'Yasek B'Torah. Lekach Yasek B'Torah, V'chakach Yisei Isha.
Means Rechaim throws a kasha.
Right. Avu Chutzah, Tzamin Sheyisei Isha Chagim O'Torah, he's saying in Eretz Yisrael, he's saying like this. In both places, the reality is the same. That if you have Torah and Parnassah, you don't have time to learn. So the Eitzah, So in Eretz Yisrael, where Eretz Yisrael, the schus is megan, the kedush is megan, from the problem of yehurim and so on, then you can delay getting married, and you're able to learn. So Rechaim, you have two choices, you have two issues. Rechaim Betzavara is not good for learning, and not being b'kedusha is not good for learning. So in Eretz Yisrael, where you're less not b'kedusha because the Schus Yisrael is megan, then that's a good idea over there to sit around and to learn later. To get married later. Va'oid ki atoyer in Eretz Yisrael adif miteres bavol ki naminu machshake mashivani kimesei oylam ze kimesei oylam kizet talmud bavli l'fikr teres etzol meilem. So I think what he means to distinguish is the difference between one is just Eretz Yisrael, the Schus Yisrael is Megan in itself. The second one, he says, is the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is Megan, more on the person. Learning Torah itself, I would assume that this morale is going together with the Rambam and the Gemara and the Braisa, that if a person is Mekabel Ol Torah, Mavir Memenu Yehurei Arayis Nehurei This, like the Rambam says, that hirhur arayis are only leif panim in a chachma. So the intensity of Torah Eretz Yisrael allows you to deal better with your issues as also. So I think those are the two shades. In other words, so his pshat is quite different, that the pshat is, in both cases, parnasa was an issue, in both cases, kedusha was an issue, and Eretz Yisrael, kedusha was less of an issue because Eretz Yisrael was making, or Torah Eretz Yisrael. I think that's more or less the way he's describing it. I just want to go back a second to what we said before. It's very interesting. The Torah, when the Torah speaks about getting married, the word kibush, it says darkah shel ish lichbois, vein darkah shel ish lichbois. In other words, the koyach of a person, the restlessness. Kibush means that when it says darker shall ish lichpais, ve darker shall isha lichpais, is it's not only that he's stronger and he's better at fighting, he can run quicker and longer, whatever it is. It's the desire to move, to expand, is a man's tchuna. A woman's tchuna is to consolidate. Chazal give the mashal when they say a man plows the field, but can he eat wheat? He grows pishtan, but you can't wear flax. The woman makes the things out of them. So the koyach of hispashtus is in the man's koyach. And therefore, just like, let's take another example. The zera of a man contains hundreds of millions of sperm. The count is not, has no limit to it, really, in a certain sense. A woman is the one, it's the woman who limits it to one. The koyach of zachar, zachar is bigmatia bracha, whereas a woman is in the keva, has in itself an element of klala, like it says, if you neikiv shem Hashem, the being mekalal is neikiv shem Hashem. The klala we're talking about is the limiting of something to what it is. Bracha means there's a ribu without gvul. Aura means it's barren. It's only what you have, and that's it. The seed you put in is what you get out. The koyach, it's a positive koyach because a man's unlimited seed is worthless. You can't grow 100 million children. It's counterproductive. He's the proactive partner, so he can create the wheat, but the wheat itself needs to be filtered. It needs to be processed. So from this mass of wheat, you get this little bread, but that's really what's useful. So the koyach of zachrus, the Torah calls it kivshua, darkashish lichbaish, the koyach of the man is to be koyvish, and that's why his etzahara is so strong. It strains at the boundaries, because that's what it's supposed to do. So it's really, in the big picture, the koyach of the zachar is a koyach to push, to go beyond. The koyach in the cave is to rein in. And you see it even by the Yavis. If you take a look, it was the men who seemed to do most of the kirov work, and it was the women who did the filtering work. Sarah told Avram to get Yishmael out of the house. Rivka was the one who maneuvered it so that Yaakov be left with it. It was Yaakov asked Rachel and Leah, I'm having these issues with Laban, what should I do? And they said, we need to move on. We need to get away from it. It's part of that koyach of being sort of consolidating force, a limiting force. Whereas the zachar is, so Skolzman, the hispashtus is inside, and the person is focused inwards. Chaim Shalevitz had a very fascinating, his son-in-law, Rabbi Saul Meir Weiss, younger son-in-law, was offered, I might have told you the story once, was offered a job in a yeshiva to work for a certain Rosh Hashiva. This Rosh Hashiva was a first cousin of the world-renowned Rosh Hashiva. And Rabbi Saul Meir Weiss went to ask his father, Rabbi Chaim, should he take the job or not? So Rabbi Chaim told him, he mentioned the fact that, he's a cousin, first cousin to this prestigious person. So Chaim told him, the tchunas hanefesh of that family, the defining characteristics is that they're nudniks. He said, the Adam Gadol one focused his nudnik on himself, and he was able to draw out of himself godless. His cousins, I'm not sure about. He said, I think he was rather sure. And it actually happened to a cousin of mine went to work for those people, and I think 2 years later he realized it, and he made his own yeshiva. But the point was, those energies, when they're focused inwards, so they're very, they're productive. But if a person doesn't have it, the person gets restless. It's one of those. When a person has kochus and doesn't have a way to use them, they become destructive. That's the end of it. That's the, it's true also by your mother, let's say. A mother with children, the kochus, you know, she's 24/7 busy with them. When the age, when they don't need her 24/7, so many times she still persists, and it becomes very difficult because, you know, it's taking kochus that should have been going outwards, and they're not, you know, they're not there anymore. It's not, it shouldn't be there anymore. I think we'll hold it here. I just we want not to start there. It's just a long piece. Very nice. Okay, thank you very much for coming out from Pels and save me. It's been a long week. I must have spoken 15, 16 places, and it just gets kind of, you know, I can close this. It gets kind of very tedious. You know, so it's, you've got all these places.